Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to For Geek's Sake. My name is Al Sterling. So glad to have you here. We are coming to you from Factor Studio in beautiful Orlando, Florida. I'm so glad to be here. Like, my day at work was just such crap.
You do that, like, every time. You, like, do the introduction, and then you're like,
Because it's nice. It's nice to be here. Seriously, like, it's like a...
You go, like, smooth jazz host for a second.
Serious.
Yeah, so glad to have you with us today. We're going to open up with some Coltrane. And there you go. Anyway, so in the studio today... What? In the studio today, first, we only vaguely regret having her here.
Aww.
We are pleased to have Miss Danielle.
Thank you, I guess.
And, of course, producer Dan.
Hey, everybody.
And joining us for the first time ever, but not my fault.
I think it is your fault.
No, we tried to have him on before, and a scheduling error at the last minute canceled him out. We are pleased to welcome yet another Dan. I believe this is Dan, if we're counting, Dan number 13.
Carry the one, 18.
18, I apologize. Yeah. But this one is the one and only Mr. Daniel Sullivan.
Hello.
Now, for our listeners who have been, fervent and ardent listeners, I'd like to let both of you know, yes, that name does sound familiar. Dan Sullivan was the Dungeon Master for our Ladies Night D&D session.
Yes, he was. You were the Dungeon Master. He was the...
Like, I was the assistant dungeon master.
No.
The man of many voices.
He was the better one at the...
We were
all really disappointed that he wasn't there on our second session. Let's just put it that way.
And I'll say this flat out. He's a better DM than I am by a fair margin. I mean, when we first started playing, actually, Dan and I are in a game together. And for a while there, I was running the game. And then after a while, we switched up and he started running the game. And I was so glad... he didn't go first. It would be like, it'd be like doing karaoke with Danielle. You don't want to go right after Danielle. You really want to go before Danielle. Because once she unloads those pipes,
Tell our audience stuff like that.
Listen, I've had to follow you in karaoke, and the only thing I have going for me is I drink more than you. And that's legitimately the end of, like, the things that I beat you at, anything involving a karaoke bar. But he is not here to talk with us about Dungeons & Dragons. One of his other specialties, and the reason you actually had him on and we had canceled was the anime episode. So there's some episode back in the archives about mole breast meat, I think it was.
Yes.
Where I tried to do this.
Who was on it with us?
No one.
I think was that just you and I?
It was just the two of you.
Oh, God, that was not a great episode.
It was just the two of you, and Daniel watched the anime series that were recommended specifically by your gracious host, Al.
Yeah, no, that was a bad idea.
Yeah, and you chose poorly, Al.
I did. And to be fair,
let's get into that more, because I actually want to address that.
Okay, so we'll get into that. Let's go ahead and get started with some This Week in Geek, then.
Let's start with Haha, Al's Dumb.
Okay, we'll start with Al's Dumb. So, I want to go ahead and, that's a good font.
That's a great font.
I want to go ahead and apologize to our listeners and to Justin Link. I thought I understood what the Oculus Rift was when we went into last week's episode. And it turns out, no, I had absolutely no idea.
And it's okay that I didn't, because I'm just the co-host. You are the host.
It is my show.
Yeah.
And I did fail.
But at least you learned something, right?
I actually did. I learned a whole lot that I think I was, like, learning more than any of our listeners were.
And it's super exciting what's coming out. And I didn't know.
I did. I got super excited. I was like, oh my God, it's going to do that? Really? And that really is not supposed to be the reaction of the guy who booked the guest to come on and do that. So that's, I think, three episodes in a row that we've had to open up with Ha Al's Dumb.
Yeah, I think so.
I think it's going to be recurring.
It's only the second time that we've actually called it that.
I think it's going to be a recurring segment, everyone, so stay tuned.
God, I hope not. I really... Is this replacing you firing me? Because, you know, you haven't fired me.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
You haven't fired me in a while.
You know what? Because I like where we are, and I think we're doing well, and, you know, I don't really need to fire anyone. So, yeah, no, I just want to call you... Dumb.
You can call me stupid. You're allowed to call me...
I want to call you stupid, but you said I couldn't.
No, I said the segment's called Ha Ha Al's Dumb.
But I can still call you stupid?
Yeah, like that. Like I could possibly stop you from doing that. Let's move on. Apologies to Justin. I promise I'll be better next time. New Planet 9.
I did see that today.
Yeah, so we have... Now, I'm a little annoyed because I happen to be a defender of Pluto.
Give it up, bro.
No one cares. He's
game over.
Okay.
Game over.
He's a Disney dog. Give
it up. Listen, I'm a Dolphins fan. Standing by Pluto is nothing. Okay?
Valid point.
I mean, really, you think I'll defend Pluto forever.
Sure.
But they downgraded Pluto a while ago, that everybody knows. But now they...
Wait, what?
Now they believe that they have found another ninth planet to replace Pluto. I guess not really to replace Pluto. It does, but that's not why they found it. And then actually...
We gotta find another one, guys.
We need nine planets.
They've got the whole thing.
Or the song doesn't work.
It has to start with a P. I think really, whatever...
Yeah, because Mvemshnup doesn't have the same rhyme.
Please. Something. I don't care what they call it. It's gotta start with a P, though. You can't... Because my very educated mother did not just service nine, I don't know, like, soups? I don't know, were they... Cheeseburgers? Ooh, cheeseburgers would be okay.
That could work.
Yeah.
Then we has cheeseburger.
Oh, there it is. But it's supposed to be nine pizzas. That's the way God intended it. It's in the Bible. My very educated mother just served us nine pizzas.
Oh, okay. See, I was like, what are you talking about? But I actually know it from Saved by the Bell, when Screech is, they're supposed to do like this trivia thing, uh-huh. And Screech gets really, really sick and he's in the hospital and he like wakes up and he's like, Mvemshnup! And that's how you remember the planets. That is literally how I remember the order of the planets.
Okay. All right. I'm not even mad at her about it. I'm fine with it. All right, that's fine. Anyway.
Versus pop culture.
That was random. But this is for geek's sake, so we're completely
you know
good
what?
With it. We're
you
in the wheelhouse.
So,
Al, did you see that they haven't actually found it yet, though?
No, they're still...
What?
No, they haven't put eyes on it yet. So a lot of this... I remember doing geometry. Were you going to go to geometry, Dan?
No.
Okay.
No.
The thing that always blew my mind about geometry is they would give you... like a bunch of angles and intersecting angles and lines and all this stuff. And you're supposed to like, and they'd say, this angle is 15 degrees. Now figure out what these other 45 angles are based on the fact that this one is 15 degrees. That's effectively what they're doing in outer space, but using gravity pull, the pull of gravitational forces and the, where the light bends and how things are adjusted in the elliptical orbit. And like, they take one tiny piece of information and manage to extrapolate everything from
it. So for those of you at home, they science the shit out of it.
They do. Right. Thank you. That's perfect.
So they think that there's a floating object in our solar system that they have not previously identified that is probably a planet.
Right.
That would account for a lot of anomalies.
Right.
Over the years.
So and this is not the first time, by the way, that they've come across this. This thing has been in the news, I think, three or four other times, but this latest one has a little bit more evidence, and we keep getting closer and closer, and now they think that with the information they've got, they'll be able to angle one of the really big telescopes, like the one in Hawaii. They'll be able to aim at this thing and actually be able to see it, they think. So,
maybe.
Yeah, you would have to get everything in the right alignment so that it's even in our range, and
right.
None of the other planets are blocking it, and...
So...
it's going to happen in, like, wait. 5 years.
I talked to Dan about this a little bit earlier. He's itching to talk right now, so give him a sec.
Their hopes for seeing this are actually really low because everything has to line up perfectly. Even with all the math, which has checked out, they use the formulas and computations to model where different bodies in space should be at different points in time, and it matched up perfect. They're like, ha! This is ideal! We can do it! Can we see it? Maybe not, because you have to understand the limited window we can see that far out.
Yeah, and like the sun would have to be shining on the planet in the right way. And again, none of the other eight. No, because there's two on the other side. So, Mercury, Venus, Earth.
Oh, okay, close. Not on the other side
right.
of the ninth planet, on the other side
right.
of Earth. Okay. I was like, I don't... Actually, but it's funny you mentioned that. I'm sorry, real quick, but they actually have... theorize that there's a 10th and 11th planet, two other planets that they think may be actually another step out farther from those. Now, those are in the very, very preliminary stages. They've got a lot more evidence that it's on the 10th planet, but they said something like it's like 10 times farther from Pluto than Pluto is from Earth.
It's like, insane.
Yeah, it's just way the hell out there.
And it's on a different axis. It's completely different.
Right.
So then is it even realistically part of our solar system if it's on a different axis?
If it's still orbiting
our star, yes, it is.
Huh, interesting. I'm not really a spacey kind of person, so, like, this stuff is interesting,
what?
But it's...
You really... Your name tag doesn't say astrophysicist over there.
You don't play Elite Dangerous and study all the stellar phenomena?
Again, I learned the order of the planets from Saved by the Bell.
From Screech Bell people. Hey, see,
I like that. No, you're not a spacey type, but I want to know, what was that phrase again?
Yeah, I'm not really a spacey person.
Someone get this girl spacey to get her space in it.
Roger that. You and Neil deGrasse Tyson. All right. let's move on. What have we got next? Legends of Tomorrow. Okay, so before we get to Legends of Tomorrow, I need to back up. I finally started watching The Flash.
Yes.
Welcome to the real world.
I stopped watching The Wire, which has been amazing. Uh-huh. But I finally was like, I got so tired of getting yelled at. I was like, fine, I'll watch an episode of The Flash or so, and then I'll give it. So I started watching. I was going to watch one or two episodes.
And you love it.
So now I'm second episode of season two.
Yes!
And I'm not going to spoil anything.
How good was the finale of season one?
Yeah, don't spoil anything because I haven't watched it either.
I just said how good.
Here's the thing. Season one finale, I was annoyed with for about 80% of it. And sure. Then at the end, they were like, oh, by the way.
We're going to redeem ourselves.
Yes, in a huge way.
Kind of like that one Doctor Who episode that annoyed me because it was basically Peter Capaldi like the whole episode. And then like the very last minute was like,
I don't understand the problem there.
Awesome. Well, I wasn't in love with Peter Capaldi yet. Okay, so let me ask you guys a question. I like The Flash?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Knowing that I'm a female and that I watched Saved by the Bell.
Yes. You absolutely. Yeah. Okay. We have a guest on.
We have another female here.
Like one of my all-time favorite shows is like Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder.
You're
like,
going to find very strong female characters.
Okay.
Here's my thing though. I've been noticing. I tried to watch Arrow, and Arrow. I'm sorry. Arrow sucks. I hate Arrow. Okay.
Hold on. No, I have to interject here, Al. There are some really great episodes of Arrow. They have The Flash on them.
Gotcha. That's it.
Do they, on Netflix, do they say, which one is the bad one? Arrow?
Yeah.
Do they say Arrow episode 6 featuring The Flash so that we can just watch those?
No, often, you actually should have
episode with Constantine.
Oh yeah, okay. All right, that I would actually go back and watch. Have you tried watching The Arrow at all, Daniel?
I haven't tried watching either one of them.
Okay, you actually my beef with The Arrow is that it's so much drama.
It is very dramatic.
Seriously, and it's a bunch of whining and club triangles and all that crap. So maybe
kind of like Vampire Diaries.
I don't know. I would never watch a show called Vampire Diaries.
Probably.
Used to be really good at.
So you may. What I'm saying is that you may actually like Arrow. Okay, I don't like. Just I'm not saying. What?
Well, let me ask you this question. Should I stop watching Supernatural?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
And watch Flash, yes.
No.
Yes.
What season are you on with Supernatural?
Like 5 or 6, I think.
Okay, finish out 7, and then you can take a break.
I should write this down so I don't forget.
We'll get there in a minute. Okay. The point is, Flash, really good.
Okay.
Yeah. Really much. I still am going to put this out there, though. I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. more than Flash.
You're wrong. But wait, let's move along to Legends of Tomorrow.
Right, so Legends of Tomorrow. So okay. Legends of Tomorrow, for those of you who are not aware, takes characters from, because The Flash and Arrow exist in the same universe.
The Berlantiverse.
The what?
Berlantiverse. He's the guy who created them.
Oh, okay. I thought you were combining The Flash and Arrow.
Talk like it's just DC?
It's kind of like the Shondaland of geek.
Okay.
So the Berlanti universe, because these two are overlapped, these shows overlap, there's a lot of crossover between them. They've now created a third show existing in this little universe with a lot of the combination of bad guys and whatever else. So these are characters from both of these shows. So yes. I didn't get to watch it, though, so which one of you is going to tell us about it?
I'll start off real quick. So you've got you've got a few good guys from each show, from Arrow and from The Flash. And then you've got two villains from The Flash. And they are joined by Rip Hunter, who is played by, I forget the guy's name, he played Rory on Doctor Who.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's playing Rip Hunter. That's him right there with the six-shooter looking gun in his hand.
That's Rory?
That's him. And in fact, they actually...
But he looks like a badass. Rory's not a badass.
He is a badass on this.
Hey, whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. The Last Centurion?
Okay.
All right, let's go on.
Pandorica aside, he's not a badass.
Anyway, so he plays a time traveler who has come back. That's right, Arthur Darvill. He comes back from the future, and he tells them that he's been sent to bring them all together to take down Vandal Savage, who is kind of an immortal character.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Back up.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that Rory is the main character?
Yes.
Pretty much.
I'm going to watch this show.
Yeah. You can watch this without having watched either of the others.
But is it better if I watch the others first?
Absolutely.
Yes.
So I heard...
It compounds.
So one of the nerd voices that I respect, one of our listeners, as a matter of fact, John. John's watched it. His complaint was that it felt like he was watching Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And he wasn't really thrilled with that. Is that a fair criticism?
We are halfway through the premiere, so I think it's a little early for that kind of a criticism.
The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers was like the anime of teen...
Based on how early we are in the premiere, I can neither confirm nor deny your allegations.
Okay.
That is Mighty Morphin Power Rangers DC.
It's...
But if it were, I'd still watch the hell out of it.
So you're happy with what you've seen so far?
I'm ecstatic. I squeed.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah, me too. Did you also squeed?
Yeah. So the first episode, it's guns a-blazing, and they're like...
Would you agree
that it was perhaps the fastest recruitment montage of anything you've ever witnessed?
Absolutely.
Ooh, I like montages and I like recruitment. So far, absolutely. I like what I'm hearing.
You shall join my team!
Right before they did this, a couple weeks earlier, they did a crossover of Flash and Arrow. And they kind of did a beginning of this with that, where they introduced Hawkman and Hawkgirl.
And Vandal Savage. Villain Vandal Savage, and how scary he can really be.
Okay. I mean, Vandal Savage is a huge bad guy. So I'm still going to also register my constant objection with DC and their splitting up, because the Vandal Savage is almost certainly going to eventually appear in the Justice League movie. I mean, he's one of your bigger bad guys. So we're going to see him kind of, they're still going to have this bouncing back and forth between these different.
Well, they've made it clear that this is going to be basically separate parts of the multiverse.
Yes.
Oh, we're going multi-universe. Oh, okay.
They've definitely talked about DC, that. DC's they've going... made clear yeah. with the Flash that it is the multiverse. And Vandal Savage, while he can appear elsewhere, and he should, because to date, I'm pretty sure he's the only villain who actually won.
Yeah.
Who didn't win.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Well, so Legends of Tomorrow, I'm going to have to give it a watch and figure out what's going on with it. But
I give it two very enthusiastic thumbs up.
All right. We got...
You know what? I understand what he's saying with that, because it is very fast. They jump right into the action, and you're spending a lot of plates because there's 9 characters that are on this spaceship that equal time.
You know what else had 9 characters on the spaceship?
Yeah.
I don't think there were 9,
were
there?
It's a good formula.
I don't think there were 9.
Actually, I think there were 8 and the ship was 9. The ship was a character. I'm talking about Firefly.
Hold on.
Gideon is in this, so the ship is a character as well.
Yeah, Gideon. Yeah.
Anyway,
which was that got me. That was amazing.
Yeah, there were 8 characters.
Yeah, the ship was 9. It is okay. Moving on though, Legends Tomorrow, absolutely checking that out.
So last week, Marvel teased that on Free Comic Book Day they were going to put out something called Dead No More. Mm-hmm. But they didn't tell us who was going to be Dead No More, and that came out this week that it is going to be Steve Rogers coming back as Captain America.
But they already replaced him.
Actually, depending on which Marvel universe you're talking about, he's still alive.
This is going to be part of the All New, All Different, I believe. And it will be going concurrent with Falcon being now the new Captain America. So there'll be 2 Captain Americas.
I'm not going to read
that. That's why it says Steve Rogers, Captain America.
Right. But in the current All New, All Different Marvel, isn't Steve Rogers alive and old?
Yes.
See, this is why we need Oral around here, because I can never keep... Like, I love this stuff, I still can't keep up with it all.
But I think he was from an alternate... It was kind of...
Oh, you're right. It was an alternate universe. Okay, you're absolutely correct.
Same as Old Man Logan.
Right. So, but Free Comic Book Day, however, is still an awesome thing. And if you've been kind of vaguely interested in comic books, Free Comic Book Day is a great day for you to get to kind of see what's going on with it. Get a bunch of free stuff.
Do you get to pick your own free comic book?
They have a set of comics that you can pick from that are free. Go ahead and support your local comic book stores. Head down. They'll be glad to answer any questions you got.
Absolutely.
Because I want what I want for free. I don't want free crap.
Well, they don't usually do free crap. They're trying to get you to come do more stuff.
I know.
All right, so for our main topic, here's what happened. Previously, when we did the anime thing, I picked out a handful of animes kind of blindly and said, okay, Danielle, watch these. And then we discussed
them. Oh, my God. It was the worst day ever.
It was not the worst day ever. But it was
pretty close.
It was almost the worst day ever.
It doesn't matter. So what we did this time was I went back to Dan, And I said to Dan, all right, we're going to try this one again. I want to do this thing. Help me out with it. Give us an episode to watch. Give us a show that all three of us can watch and come back with. And Dan said, no. And I said, please? And he said, no. And so instead, he gave me the flowchart. And you can find the flowchart
on our Facebook page.
And I would strongly encourage you to take a look at it. Most of the ones at the top, if you look, there's a top, like, I think, or maybe 12 that's across.
I believe it's 12.
Those ones across the top, almost all of them are available on Netflix. So you can go check those out.
Almost. Actually, I found two that were not.
Right. Darker Than Black isn't on there, and there was another one.
Toradora wasn't. Cowboy Bebop isn't.
Oh, is Cowboy Bebop not on there anymore?
No.
But you can also check, but if there's 15 up there. See, I'm getting a little bit more. So the great thing about the list is it breaks it down. Do you want a comedy? Workplace comedy? Do you want a rom-com?
Rom-com. Yeah. And it compares them to major movies that you would see. Did you like this movie? All right. You'll probably like this anime.
Right. So we took that list and we each watched. I think Dan got to watch one. Danielle watched two.
Ironically, the one that I watched, we all watched,
which was good. it really was a great one. But I'm trying to make up for the fact that I completely foobarred last week. Watched like I think 7 or 8. But I had already seen a couple, and then I watched several episodes of a couple others to try to get up there. So the animes that we're going to be referencing are all available right there. You can find them. Find the ones that we're talking about on the flowchart. And if you can't find them on Netflix, you probably can find them in either Hulu or Crunchyroll, which is an anime-specific streaming app. So.
Okay, so before... Pass.
Take a second.
Sorry.
Are you good?
Yeah.
All right.
A little froggy in my throat. Before we get started, let me just ask a blanket question. Most, and I say most because there's never a 100% generalization, but most anime has some sort of mysticism involved, correct?
Incorrect.
Oh. Okay. Well, I didn't know that. I guess I picked.
It's fair to say 50%.
Yeah. Okay. I would say it's definitely a major theme in anime.
From my experience, half of all anime more than likely has mysticism.
So what does the other half have?
It's slice of life and action. Now, to give you an idea of slice of life, there are several series out there. Prince of Tennis, Baking Club, Haniyori Dango, which is Boys Before Flowers.
Sure.
Those are romances. There's no mysticism whatsoever. Prince of Tennis, they have fancy flashy attacks as it's like, Moon Slice Curb! Pow!
But we're still talking tennis. Okay.
And it's just different ways of slicing the ball, and that can possibly injure you. And there's a lot of drama built into it.
Okay.
So there is a lot more than mysticism. That just happens to be the more popular part.
Got it.
Well, and I think part of it
is... And then you also have Giant Mecha, which is not mysticism. It's just giant robots, and it's awesome.
It's so awesome.
Can we just talk for a second, because I know that we all watched The Devil is a Part-Timer. Can we just talk about how when they came to Earth and they said, well, they don't believe in magic, but it exists as a theme, and then they had the poster of Holy Potter?
Yeah.
That was great.
You're going to see throughout various anime shows... that they try to cleverly use names purposely misspelled so they don't have to pay any licensing
fees. Right. But it was so funny. I was like, hey.
Popular is McDonald's with one arch.
Oh, yes. Well, he was at McRonald's.
Yes.
Yeah.
McRonald's.
Yeah, MG.
Yeah.
Yeah,
McRonald's.
So the one that we all watched, let's back up a little bit. Can you give us a kind of give our listeners kind of a very like 10-second recap of what The Devil is a Part-Timer is about, and then we can discuss that one since that's one that we all saw.
Okay, we can go ahead and touch on that first. The Devil is a Part-Timer is an anime that starts with you completely out of left field. You're thinking this is going to be a comedy, and it's dark and serious, and a massive fight's going on between a hero of light and the devil himself, and they're speaking a language, and you're going, what the hell are they saying? But it's interesting, and then boom, they're on Earth, and no one understands what's going on, and magic isn't quite working. And what happens when you're the devil, and you're now on a planet where you have no power, and you have to survive? Limited power.
Okay, sorry.
If you want a quibble.
I do.
she loves to.
Yeah, she does. She
he
loves
goes from, you know, all right, he it's goes stupid. From pre-free genie to post-Jafar genie.
Oh, there nicely you go. Done.
There you go. And... he's now forced to live, and he has to worry about basic things like food and living and money. So what do? You work
for fast food.
I thought it was so funny when he was like, oh, I didn't know this human body needed food. Sorry.
And you follow the struggles with them, and it's really cool. And it develops.
And it does. So you watched the first episode, Dan?
And then I watched another episode while
he
I was
watched
waiting
the
on
second
you guys.
One while he was sitting here with me.
Good. And
I watched one episode.
Okay. I got about three. I think I'm three or four deep. I don't think. Have you watched the series?
The entire season.
Okay.
Or a series.
So this thing was. I mean, it was listed under the on the flowchart as a workplace comedy mm-hmm. with very little drama. Or you know, they specifically said it was like the no drama one. So I gravitated that one also because of the title. The Devil's a Part Timer was just like a. Okay, now let me see what's going on here. And I absolutely loved it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was still had enough action and drama and stuff to kind of keep me entertained. It wasn't a pure sitcom in the way that I kind of was initially thinking it might be. But I was really, really engaged with it from the word go. So I personally really, really enjoyed it. What did you think? You know what? We're going to get to you last, Danielle.
Okay.
What did you think, Producer Dan?
I enjoyed it to a level, to a degree. I liked the storyline and I liked the concept, but I'm just not an anime guy, and it did what most anime that I watch that I'm not, you know, opposed to. I kind of go, you know, this would be a lot better if it was just real people for me, you know? And I could understand at a point where you couldn't do some of these things live action, but now, I mean, after watching Legends of Tomorrow, we can do anything live action, even on TV. So, that's just me.
So, on a 1 to 10 scale?
As anime goes, I would give it an 8. As just for entertainment for myself, I'd give it a 5.
So, let me ask you this. What are the odds that you will watch episode 3?
Slim.
Okay. What about you, Danielle?
Well, if any of you actually did listen to our mole breast meat, whatever it was called, episode, I specifically say basically what Dan says, is that there's a lot of elements in anime that I don't really, they don't resonate with me. I don't really get it. I don't really find it funny or interesting. But I kind of got into this one, kind of. I still kind of like held myself back a little bit. I thought the storyline was very funny. Satan working at a fast food and like caring that he is like, raising,
he will be the best.
Yeah, he's like, I will be the best, and like he has like ambition, and he at the end of the episode, spoilers, he gets the promotion, and he's riding home on the bike, and he's like so excited, and
I am shift manager.
He was ridiculous. You know, I thought it was really funny. But like I wasn't like I was kind of like, okay, all right, well. There, I watched it. Like, good for me. Yay.
Okay, so on a 1 to 10 scale?
On a 1 to 10 scale, I think I'm with Dan, whereas as anime, I would give it probably a 7 or 8 as entertainment value for myself, maybe like a 5 or 6.
So what are the odds you go see episode 2?
I don't know.
Not high?
Nah, I mean, it could happen, but...
Rainy Day, nothing else on Netflix?
It's kind of like, going to be, like, on the lower end of my queue. So.
That's fine.
I did find it interesting, though, and you know, I was able to be a little bit more forgiving knowing now what anime is about, but I still found some of the anime stuff, like that, like, it's just not...
Right. I think for both of us, it comes down to just a matter of taste when it comes to the style of animation.
Yeah.
Just doesn't grab me.
And you know, and that's completely fine here. My bigger concern with me, because I did message them both and tell them they had to watch something. One of my bigger concerns here was making sure that we gave anime a fair shake for you, for both of you.
Yeah.
Because I really didn't feel like the previous episode was giving anime a fair shake. We didn't. That wasn't good. So I watched a bunch we can discuss. But Danielle, what was the second series that you watched?
So the second one I watched, it had said that it was a romantic comedy. And so I was like, well, let's see what it's about. My poor husband actually watched these both with me. and it was called Toradora. And I freaking loved it.
Oh, yeah?
I freaking loved it. First of all, it's on Hulu, so you can't get the English version like you can on Netflix, like where you have the English audio.
English dub is just subtitles?
Yeah, so it's just subtitles, which, by the way, the subtitles for the for the devil is a part-timer was driving me crazy when they were...
Yeah, because it's not the same.
It's, like, as the dub. Totally opposite. I had to, like, distract myself from it. Anyways, in Toradora, it opens up with this, like, almost, like, K-pop, like, music video style opening, and you're like, what in the world? Lots of, like, pink and purple and, like, cute girls walking around, and I'm reading the lyrics, and they don't make any sense at all. Like, not even a little bit of sense. It's obvious that they did, like, a literal translation, and I'm sure that some of it is, like, colloquial saying type stuff, and they just didn't translate it properly, but it was hysterical. And the show itself had a great premise. Some of the anime effects I found weren't as annoying because, again, I'm being desensitized towards it, but I just... The plot line was cute. The characters are cute. I wanted to watch the second episode, like, but I didn't because I wanted to watch something else instead. All
right.
But I will definitely probably watch the.
Okay.
Next.
Now what did so on this one? Give me a 1 to 10 on this one.
As far as anime is concerned, for me 10 because it's the best anime I've seen.
Okay. And as far as general entertainment,
I'd give it like a 7 or an 8. It was cute. It was...
So there's a decent chance that you'll swing back around and watch episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Totally.
Now I'm curious. What did Chris think of Devil's a Part-Timer?
He thought it was funny. Okay. He probably would have watched the second episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. I think he was more likely to watch the second episode than I was. And Chris is not an anime guy, like, at all.
Okay. So. I want to take a second here. I'm gonna journey a little bit farther down the rabbit hole with you, Dan Sullivan. Let's talk about a couple of the other one titles here and what's kind of going on with them. I had already seen a couple of these other ones. I'd like to discuss them with you a little bit, kind of get your take on them and some of those. So one of the ones that I went back and watched, and I'm really really glad I did, was Samurai Champloo.
Your choice.
I'd seen, and this was the one actually. I was trying to remember to remind you because. Dan, producer Dan, okay. I think Samurai Champloo might be, if there was an anime I looked at that I think Dan might like this one. I think you might. The cool thing about Champloo is, and actually like Cowboy Bebop, both of them have music that is just phenomenal.
Yes.
And Samurai Champloo is, you know, is basically classic samurai. You've got your classic, like, crazed swordsman who's actually the voice, is the same voice of the guy who's done Wolverine. As the voice of Wolverine and, like, everything. And it's you can see why. There's some definite parallels between those two characters.
And in regards to anime and listening to it, because you're going to get a lot of people out there who are like, subtitles, the only way to watch anime. And others are like, well, I prefer dub. Well, it's 50-50. Usually, the subtitled version is better. And I say that because, as was mentioned in the previous episode, you're the one who brought it up, Danielle, is the voice quality, the voice acting quality
is way
substantially higher. It feels like when you're watching an American dubbed or Western dubbed anime that they're calling it in. They're reading, and yes, and oh, I love you, and this is amazing. Yet the character's making these excited facial expressions. They're like, oh my god, I love you so much. You mean so much to me. And you just kind of lose that somewhere along the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But any anime that's been dubbed by animes, such as Cowboy Bebop, have actually been argued that the dub is better than the subtitle because those voice actors take their shit seriously and they love what they do and it really shows.
Well, I thought they did, and I thought in Samurai Champloo, the voice acting was great.
Amazing.
I thought they did a really good job with it. I liked the voice. I recognized some of their voices and really enjoyed it. But in the basic premise here is you've got two samurais who start by attacking each other and eventually pair up, that classic deal. And one of them is the guy who voices the Wolverine stuff. He's got the crazy thing going, you know, crazed and violent and just, you know, ready to die. And the other guy is the super strict, very like odd couple kind of pairing. And then Cyclops. Yes, exactly. So you do. Actually, that's a really good, pretty good comparison too. You got to have a Wolverine Cyclops dichotomy between them. And then there's a third character who's a female protagonist, and she's kind of the driving force for the narrative. But the entire thing has got all of the music is hip hop, and it's got hip hop beats throughout the whole thing. And it puts this really, really cool twist on the way they edit it because they even they cut the scenes on beat. And so you'll jump back and forth between two entirely different fight scenes on the beat. And it like the musicality of it, I thought, was phenomenal.
And speaking of that, that's one of the defining characteristics in anime, not necessarily the music, but the pacing. When you look at an anime, it's not just the artistic, it's not just the visual style. It's a composition. Anime, as opposed to traditional Western cartoons, is an art form. And it's an experience, and what allows them to do that is how they approach it. When they do a series, they come together in a committee, and they actually put together, okay, this is our project, and we're making it. This is the beginning, this is the middle, this is the end. And what is it going to look like from start to finish? What is it going to do? And that's traditionally how it's done. And that's why sometimes you won't see a sequel of your favorite series, because, well, the committee doesn't have to get back together again. They're under no pressure or obligation to do that. The long-running series that you see, like Naruto, One Piece, Inuyasha, Sailor Moon, those were all based off of manga that was ongoing. So they had this rich source material that they could keep feeding off of and continuing.
The other one, so that was Samurai Champloo. The other one that I thought was really into, that was along the same lines, speaking of music, is Cowboy Bebop.
Yes.
And Cowboy Bebop was is a great example of what you're talking about, because Cowboy Bebop is, I think, was it 12 episodes, I think?
It's 24.
A 24? Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Season 1, yeah. And I hadn't watched, it's been a couple years since I watched Cowboy Bebop, but I think it's probably one of my favorite. And there is, the music there pulls in a lot of Western music. There's all of the titles of the episodes are play on songs, classic rock songs, jazz, and a little bit of rock and roll, and a little bit of that kind of stuff. I don't know if you like Cowboy Bebop as much, but if you ever get bored and think, I'll give one more a try, try the first episode of Samurai Champloo and see what you think, because that, I thought, was phenomenal.
It's a space Western.
Yes, Bebop is, yes. And actually, Joss Whedon has even said that he was inspired in part by Cowboy Bebop as he was putting together Firefly, which is, I can absolutely see. I can absolutely kind of draw that line there. Other ones that I saw in there, of course, Attack on Titan, which is probably the biggest, most popular anime to come out. I mean, from a Western perspective, as a guy who doesn't see a whole lot of anime, like, it's got to get pretty big before it gets on my radar. And, I mean, Attack on Titan was all over my radar when it hit. It hit big. And it's been a phenomenal one. I would suggest it kind of almost feels like a Marvel Netflix in a way. You've got a compelling storyline that jumps in real quick. They're not afraid to get gritty. They're not afraid to get hard. And you know, your expectations for, and your ability to predict what's going to happen is shit. You're not going to guess what's going to happen next. They're going to leave you guessing.
Fair statement.
What did you think? Anything else? What did you think about Attack on Titan? I think that's definitely another one that I would recommend to a lot of folks.
This is where I'm the exception to the rule. While I enjoy Attack on Titan, I'm really, really angry at the mangaka, the writer who's doing the manga for Attack on Titan, because I think he's an extraordinarily sloppy writer.
Oh, wow.
He doesn't take into account the continuity of the world he's created. And kind of just, it's like, oh, this is a great idea. I'm going to introduce this. Yeah. But what about the repercussions from that? And no, it's fine. He does something that annoys me about some directors, like J.J. Abrams, is time is fluid. It can be however long I need it to be. Right? I mean, 300 years is a long enough period of time for everyone to forget all technology up to this point, right? Right?
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Why not? Yeah,
totally.
Sure.
Yeah. We don't know how to use guns anymore, so we have to reinvent those, but it's muskets because we still have steam tech.
Right.
And then he's only recently started explaining how that could happen. And I'm like, okay. But it's kind of, it felt shoehorned in.
Right, a little after the fact. Right. So Attack on Titan, not one of your favorites.
Not one of my favorites. Still good. I recommend it. It's not all flavors of anime are for everyone.
Truth. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing the what was yours, Daniel? The Toradora. I'm betting I wouldn't like Toradora.
Probably not. It's kind of like a teen comedy, like love story.
Gotcha.
Like one of my first anime that I got into, Sailor Moon, and then Hanyori Dango. Hanyori Dango, I got in because of my girlfriend at the time. It is very much a romantic drama. It's a high school romance, and if you don't like romantic drama, you are not going to like it.
Okay, so I won't watch that one either.
Well, Toradora, there's still a little bit of, like, the fighting stuff. Like, the girl has a wooden sword. I don't really know why yet. Okay, sure. She doesn't call it that? I don't know. But you know what I was going to say? I don't know if I talked about this after our anime episode, because we haven't talked about anime since, but I did watch an anime movie called The Tale of Princess Kaguya, or did I say that right? That movie made me freaking cry.
I personally recommend, he is an amazing, the Miyazaki films, Nausicaa Valley of the Wind, Princess Mononoke, Howl's Moving Castle, Kiki's Delivery Service, and there are several others that I'm escaping my memory at the moment. They are not only works of art, they're a little weird.
Yeah, but no, it was, that was the thing is, a friend of mine,
really well.
Yeah, a friend of mine who's not really into anime had discovered it, and then, like, surreptitiously and sequentially made every single one of his friends watch it, like, and it did, it made me cry, and the artwork was absolutely beautiful, the story was a little weird, there was some mysticism that was kind of like, okay, I guess. The story was a little bit long, but then at the end, like, the moral of the story, it just it made me cry. I was like, oh my gosh, this is a great movie. I was very impressed. I would say, you know, I'm still in.
That's okay. You're a sample.
I'm not a complete skeptic anymore.
I think you probably, at this point, I'm getting the impression that you like anime more than Star Wars.
Oh gosh.
I'll let you ponder that. Let's jump back into a couple. I want to get through a couple more series here.
Okay.
What else on that list did you really like? What else jumps out at you? I will say that I did notice that my, I think personal, one of, I think maybe my favorite anime. It's hard for me to say exactly, but Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex did not make the top 15 there, and that one hurts my soul a little bit because that is still to me. Well,
the reason why I didn't make that, okay, so the reasoning for the flowchart, and it was recommended by a good friend of mine who, when I was trying to put together resources for what shows to recommend and why, because there are so many out there, it's really hard to narrow it down.
Right.
Ghost in the Shell and Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex and Ghost in the Shell Second Gig,
right,
and Ghost in the Shell, the new one that's come out.
I can't remember the name of it either, off the top of my head.
They're all amazing, but they're very deep. And it's not a really good introductory.
I suppose that's true. Yeah.
If you're trying to get someone into it, it could probably turn you off if you're not used to some of the things that they do. But it is, if you like gritty, it is there. If you like, if you're a fan of Shadowrun, if you're into the dystopia, the techno dystopia of the future, boom, it's there because it's the future.
Political intrigue, I think, is the other thing that I really enjoy too.
There's no magic. It's technology. Has advanced stupid far, and we're now putting ourselves in robotic bodies. And it makes the argument, you know, does that no longer make you human?
Right. So what else is on that list there that you're that's really jumping at you? I saw several of, I mean, I've seen probably half of the ones, a little more than half of the ones that's sitting on there.
Okay, if you want to see one, it jumped out to me. I just finished watching the entire series because it was recommended, and it's the only series to date that I've watched that I went, I don't know if I liked it. I'm completely confused.
Wow.
Kill la Kill, it kept me going. Like, I kept wanting to watch it, but I still don't know if I really liked it. I'm really confused.
All right.
It had a lot of fan service, but it poked fun that it was providing the fan service. So it was making fun of itself, and it was making fun of so many things. Definitely worth watching to get a chuckle out of, if nothing else. Other shows, there's too many shows on here.
Well, just out of those top there too, because it can get, I know that we can get get pretty nuts with a lot of the other ones.
Out of the top 15, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is by and far my favorite on that list, and I love it because I was a big fan of Full Metal Alchemist, and then I found out that there was a manga for it, and then I read the manga, and I was like, why did you deviate? You didn't need to. Still a good storyline, but oh my goodness, the manga was actually better. It had a better ending. And that's what got me. And so Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is following not just the storyline of the manga, but the art style, which I was a big fan of. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. It's just, it ended well. The composition was masterful.
I think Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is probably one of my favorites as well. It's like one of those, that one, Cowboy Bebop, and Ghost in the Shell. Like, there's like this top tier that's really hard to sort.
And then second would be Magi, The Labyrinth of Magic, and then its sequel. It has a secondary season that came out to kind of wrap up the storyline, and that's really good. And it's a riff on Aladdin and Alibaba.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sold on that one. I watched about I think, 5 or 6 episodes of that one. And it was, I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't think, as I was really interested in seeing the whole Arabian Nights thing with Alibaba and all this kind of fun stuff, but I don't know. I just had a hard time. It didn't hook me.
Yeah, and that was my whole point of using the flowchart and recommending it. There are so many flavors out there. And funny enough, there are some anime where you'll go, I didn't really like that. But if you read the light novel or manga that it's based off of, you might actually like that instead, because you're more interested in the story. You don't like the visual effect that's going on.
Yeah,
the anime, I know the cutscenes for Danielle were always the big. I also want to give an honorable mention to one more that's not on the list that I just came across on Netflix, I'll Know a Zero. Have you seen this one at all?
I have not.
I'm a big fan of giant robots. That usually is enough to buy a couple episodes out of me. Just, are there giant robots? Okay, let's go ahead and see what's going on here.
Did you ever watch Technoman?
No, I haven't gotten to watch I haven't even gotten to see all of Gundam yet.
You should watch Technoman. I'm saying that really mean, by the way, because you're going to end up crying. It's a really good series.
Oh. Off to good check on Technoman. Well, I'll Know Zero is available on Netflix now, and it is it was really good. They did a lot of, again, it's giant robots, and if giant robots are your thing, then you're gonna really enjoy this, and if not, then you can kind of skip it. But anyway, so you can find the whole flowchart on our Facebook page. It's gonna take you through the top 15, which are some of the biggest animes that are just kind of out there, period. And then the flowchart gets really, really in depth. If you want to start digging a little bit deeper, you can absolutely do that. So, I think, did we cover it? Did you guys have any last thoughts?
I'm good.
All right. You excited about more anime?
I actually did have a question. Did either of you, or any, you two, not you, Dan, because I know you didn't watch anything other than the one. Did either of you two ever watch Angel Beats, or is it Steins Gate?
I have seen the first episode of Steins Gate. It didn't hook me.
Okay.
Angel Beats was good. I got distracted off of watching it. So that's more serious than I'm going to go back and watch.
Okay. I was just curious because I looked at the little taglines for them, and they sound interesting.
A studio you may like their work is called Clamp. It's an all-female studio. They're the ones who did Cardcaptor Sakura, Tsubasa Chronicles, which you might actually like. It has mysticism, but it has a lot of...
I like mysticism.
It's the romance. It's a love between a boy and a girl.
Okay.
And they're trying to stay together. And things keep getting in the way, preventing that.
That sounds like the Will Smith movie. Okay, what did you say the studio's name was? I'm going to write it down.
Clamp.
Clamp with a K?
Yes, okay. I believe.
All right, cool. I'll look it up.
The other one that I watched was, just to wrap that up too, Psychopaths. Was the heading there was the psychological police in a cyberpunk setting. That one was gory, so just as a heads up,
yeah.
That one was dark, that one was gory.
I didn't see it.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it, but nope. Wow, that one was dark.
It is Clamp with a C.
Okay. Yeah, I got the text from Al, and he said, don't watch Psychopaths, and I was
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I finished watching, okay. I was watching a couple of videos on Saturday, and I just texted him, like, please don't watch this one.
I have not watched Psychopaths.
If Daredevil was too much for you, dear God, do not watch Psychopaths. That one was...
Yeah.
But it was still, again, dark, really, really good. Okay, let's get into our B-roll. Producer Dan, I believe you're going to take this one away, correct?
Sure. So, last week, I don't even remember how it came up, but we mentioned last week that Stephen Moffat is...
Wait, that was 2 weeks ago.
No, it was last week. I promise.
It doesn't matter. Continue.
We mentioned that there was rumors that he's going to be leaving after the season and that potentially there wouldn't be any 2016 episodes of Doctor Who. And that has been confirmed.
Oh, no. Bum, bum,
bum. So now, what a lot of people, it seemed like online, were thinking that what they said was he's walking away, and so it made it seem like he's walking away right now at this moment. But no, he is doing season 10, which is coming up, but it's not going to happen until 2017.
So we're literally going to have a year with no Doctor Who.
Right. And they also announced...
Unacceptable.
I feel like they could make a claymation movie of this, the year without a Doctor Who.
Right.
This is unacceptable.
And they also announced who the new showrunner will be.
Now, this part I was okay with.
I don't know who he is.
I'm not sure how you pronounce the last name there, but...
Looks like Chibnall.
Sure, Chris Chibnall. He is currently a writer on Doctor Who.
Okay.
He was the showrunner on Broadchurch.
I haven't watched it yet, but it's in my queue.
He was also the showrunner for Law & Order UK.
Okay, sure.
And
that part's probably not something he should mention anymore, though. Law & Order UK was... it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
It was just recycled scripts, is all.
Right. But that one.
But he was also the assistant showrunner for the first two seasons of Torchwood, where he basically ran the thing because Russell T. Davies didn't have any time for it.
Right. No, and that to me is one of the biggest ones too. I mean, the Who writer, obviously.
That's not how you spell Broadchurch.
It doesn't matter.
Thank you for pointing that out, Daniel. You're right. Thank goodness. Let's stop everything and cover that.
Oh my God. Anyway.
So the
That's cool. So he's very well versed with Doctor Who and Doctor Who people, obviously.
Yes, he's worked with pretty much. Yeah, because Torchwood was just like a place for Doctor Who actors to go hang out for a couple episodes.
Well, and then of course Broadchurch is.
Right, he's got David Tennant on it.
David Tennant.
Yeah. Now, what I'm curious about is whether or not they decide to do a Christmas episode.
Like, I don't know that. I would be.
If they don't do a Christmas episode, they need to make a claymation movie about this.
I would be okay with that.
Because now it's not only the year without a Doctor Who, it's the Christmas.
So they have
They've got to do it.
They've got to get together to do a Christmas episode.
I'm like really.
Chris Chibnall, make it happen.
I'm like really depressed.
Well, he's not even in charge yet.
I don't care.
I'm like really depressed about this.
It's a prerequisite for him accepting a position.
I guess so.
And you know, I think this is a great opportunity to take a quick second and examine the differences between American television versus, well, I mean, not just British television, but also, I mean, you know, we talked about the same thing with anime. There is no way in hell any major American television show takes a year off.
It doesn't happen.
Not on broadcast.
No. Like, You don't just like take a season and go, we'll get together next year, guys.
Unless you're 24.
That's because we don't care about quality over here. It's all about the quantity. And if you're not producing, you can just GTFO.
Exactly.
And it's give it to me now.
I feel like maybe Weeds took a year off. Or maybe they tried to cancel it and then they came back or something.
That happens a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of them where they get put on hiatus. Or they get permanently, you know what I mean? Like they get.
But it's not just. But it's not just like the showrunner and the star. Like, you know what? Let's just not do this.
Well, and you see this. You see this with. You saw this. You see this with Sherlock, obviously.
Oh my God! Don't even get me started.
You see this with now. Obviously, now Doctor Who is doing this. But they also are completely fine with doing. Again, not different from what Dan Sullivan was talking about with the anime. They tell a story, and then like, and I think we're done. Are you done? I'm done. We're going to get out of here. We're not going to drag this thing out until season 11, season 12. I'm looking at you, Supernatural. Until, you know, like, until nobody likes this anymore, we're just hate watching. Or or watching because
that's how I feel about Grey's Anatomy. Like, seriously, just kill them all.
Yeah, you're watching.
You're not nuking the fridge?
Oh, yes. So you keep watching because you've done it for so long that you just go, it feels a little bit like a battered relationship. You know, right. Like, you know that they're no good for you. You know that they're not making you any better, but you're still going back every single damn week.
Yeah, see, with Vampire Diaries, they are only on like season 4 or 5 or something, but the biggest starlet or whatever, the girl that plays Elena, left the show. And so I started to watch this season and I'm like, it's terrible without her. I don't care. And I actually stopped watching. Now, for me as a completionist, that's right. A difficult decision.
Yeah.
But you know what? My life is better for it.
But well, I would predict that this means that Capaldi's done after 2017.
Well, that's good. We need a new one. Let's go.
Yeah, I would.
Fresh meat.
I love Capaldi. I think
fresh
he's...
Fresh meat.
So that means
Jason
that
Momoa.
It'll be similar to when Moffat took over with Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Coming in with a brand new doctor, they'll do that all over.
Right. And I think they're in a good spot to do that, too. I'm wondering, I mean, what I'm looking at, having, for those of you who are caught up, I'm just saying that 2016 would be a great year to do
for a diner?
For a diner. I'm just saying. Some kind of a diner theme. I don't know.
Well, I thought we were getting a spinoff. What happened to that?
I think we are still getting a spinoff.
No. You know, don't worry. It's right there next to the Doctor's Daughter spinoff.
Yeah.
Don't even get me started with Doctor's. I don't.
They'll happen about the same time.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Gonna
so
have.
Annoyed.
I'm just annoyed that we're not gonna have any Doctor Who this year.
That's gonna be. That
I'm seriously annoyed by this. I spent so much time getting caught up just so I could watch the season with everyone else. And now I have to wait another year.
Well, you can take this year to recoup, all right?
Maybe I'll just go back and watch all my favorite episodes.
See, this, by the way, is why we don't tell...
You're not going to watch it on Netflix.
Oh, that's right. They're pulling it from Netflix.
I have illegal means if they don't want me to get it from Netflix.
So this is why we don't tell Danielle about a lot of the topics and we just kind of let her react live. Because that's some good podcast right there.
That's right.
All right. Let's go ahead and get into our...
I just want to say one more time that I think this is a load of baloney.
Okay.
Well, Oscar Mayer baloney, or are we talking...
I'm like... I might mourn this a little bit.
Like, we're talking like... I think we're talking like Great Value baloney. Mm. Yeah, like...
I might cry a little
like
bit.
Like Sam's Choice, you know what I mean? Like, the really...
This is going to be a terrible year. We were supposed to get Sherlock this year, and instead they gave us The Abominable Bride and pushed it back another 2 years. And now no Doctor Who? UK is failing me right now.
Like, the Kirkland signature would be, like, still good baloney. You know? Like, all right, Impossible is better than Oscar Mayer, depending on
We can do shameless plugs, taste. Al.
Boar's Head.
Boar's Head. No, well, yeah, obviously.
Boar's Head doesn't make baloney.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Shut up.
It's delicious.
Yeah, it's the greatest baloney you'll ever put in your face. I hate bologna and I won't eat it. But still, I mean, as far as bologna goes.
Okay, but Cheddarwurst is my favorite.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Shameless plugs!
It's like bologna with cheese in a hot dog.
Danielle, why don't you do a shameless plug?
So, I didn't want to go first. I have a business partner and we are starting our own business. We have not set a launch date yet. We had a tentative one, and then I remembered that I'm going to be moving that weekend, so it's probably not a good idea. But you can find us on Facebook. There's nothing there.
This may not have been the weekend to plug this.
No, because it's okay. You can still go out and like it.
Sell it.
You can like it so that when we start posting stuff and information, you're already there and you're already in the know. But it's going to be a online clothing retail shop. Online clothing resale shop. We are going to be selling secondhand clothes and overstock from other companies at very, very cheap prices. And it's called Ragtag Resale.
Nice.
Excellent.
It's I like super
that name.
Cute.
I like that name. Yeah. I think that's pretty good.
So, yeah, you can look us up on Facebook. We, like, literally our page says under construction because eventually we're going to start posting updates. But
that makes sense.
But go like us now, and then when we start posting, you'll know what we're doing.
Do it. Like it.
Dan, you want to go ahead and plug anything?
Sure. Everybody can go to epiceventsorlando.com if you need a DJ for anything. I'm your guy.
That's true. He is.
What? Since when?
I know. He does. I know. He just comes out of blue. Like, you thought you were opening a business. Too late. He beat you to the punch.
Oh, my gosh.
Sullivan, do you have anything in the world you'd like to shamelessly plug? It can be anything at all.
Well, D&B Comics will be going out of business in the next year or so. So come on down and check us out on Facebook and order what you want. We're going to be going through our inventory and giving everything away at amazing prices because we're creators.
that's D and B.
Comics.
I'm looking for back issues of Harley Quinn.
Good luck. Because Harley Quinn sells out as of yes, just like Deadpool.
I know, I need the back issue so I can read it from the beginning. Like, I only have I only have the first one. I have, like, all of her, like, special
ones. I personally
ones
love trades because then I don't have to worry about the individual issues. I can read an entire story arc in one go.
Do they have trades for Harley Quinn?
They do. Hmm. You can find them online.
I say, probably a lot easier to find.
That's like a book where it's, like...
That is a book.
A few...
It is a tome of colored pages with written word.
How many...
It's true, that is.
How many comics are in a...
It depends on the trade.
Okay. We can talk.
So, you reminded me of Harley Quinn. One of my favorite things, just going to do a quick plug. Kevin Smith has his own YouTube channel now.
No one cares about Kevin
which
Smith.
Which is hilarious. He's got a Fat Man on Batman podcast.
Yeah.
A video podcast now that he does on YouTube. And he also posted recently video of him giving his daughter, whose name is Harley Quinn, Harley Quinn's bat from...
The
movie.
Wow.
Nice.
As a gift, and she just
freaked
goes
out.
Crazy.
God, it must be nice to be Kevin Smith's kid.
You know,
right?
At Comic-Con, or at MegaCon 2 years ago, the comic book men purchased comics from our store.
Nice.
Oh,
that's cool.
Apparently they didn't buy enough.
They bought a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And very soon he's going to be directing an episode of Flash at the end of the season.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh,
interesting.
Very nice.
Has to do with what we talked about today.
Very nice, very nice. I am going to, I'm trying to think if I have anything at all that I actually care to plug. Oh, you know what? I'm going to plug Champions of Midgard. It is a four-person worker placement board game that I got to finally sit down and play, and I have to tell you, it was absolutely fantastic. So if you like games in the spirit of like Lords of Waterdeep,
yes,
then this is a similar kind
I thought you were going to give me more games.
No, I can give you lots of other games that are kind of like, but there's a Lords of Waterdeep. It's a worker placement, so you get a certain amount of people and you try to collect the resources and do that. It's a really great board game, and actually I got it courtesy of Zach over at the Thirsty Gamers, so I'm also going to plug the Thirsty Gamers. They're, of course, meeting every Thursday night at the Hourglass Brewery in Longwood, Florida. That's the Thirsty Gamers. You can find them on Facebook and all that other kind of fun stuff. So I think that's going to do it. So, Danielle, why don't you tell them where they can find us?
You can find us on Facebook. We are For Geek's Sake. Chances are, if you're listening to the podcast, you're already following us on Facebook. But just in case, go ahead and follow us. You can also find us on the Twitter at For, the number 4, Geek's Sake. That's 2 S's, the number 4, Geek's Sake. Make sure you subscribe, tell all your friends, like everything we do, because we're insecure.
I want to do one shameless plug. If you're a Doctor Who fan and you love music, then you should listen to the Ken Spivey Band.
Okay.
They are a Doctor Who band.
Done.
They're major, and he does a lot of conventions supporting comic books as well as Doctor Who.
I'm looking them up right now.
You can find him on Facebook as well.
Fantastic. Well, I think that is going to do it for us. So we want to say thank you guys once again so much for listening. Please make sure that you are subscribing, just like Danielle said. We appreciate everything that you guys do for us. We love it so much. And until next time, this is Al Sterling saying, make it so.